1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And so I'm going to teach you. And he goes down and he says in verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Differences of administration, but it's the same Lord. Diversities of operation, but it's the same God who worketh all in all. I was reading, let me just stop right here. I was reading a little bit on this. And one commentator said that proves that there is a Trinity, because you have the Lord, the Spirit, and God. Same Spirit, same Lord, same God. Me and my simple mind, I just thought about that, and I said, well, then why use the word same? Same God. Does that mean that there's many gods? Same Lord. Does that mean that there's many lords? And just these happen to be the same? Same Spirit. So there's many spirits. He's talking all about one, and he said it's all the same. That one God is the same as the one Lord, and it's the same as the same Spirit. Amen. Praise God. Otherwise, there's no need to use the word same. Manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For the one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongue, to another the interpretation of tongues. Now it says, but all of these work that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Amen. So we're talking about in defense of spiritual gifts. We've talked about a few of these, and we're just going to take care of the last couple in the gifts of power. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. Amen. We understand that these gifts are of the Spirit. This is God's way of helping the church. Amen. Helping the church. Church was in disarray. The church was very, very messed up. The city was very messed up. And the world was getting into the church. They had fornication that was going on in the church. And they told Paul about it, and Paul had to deal with it. And he even told me, he said, I'm not even there, and I've already drawn a conclusion. This is really what needs to happen. And so as he gets into this, and my just going back over this and reading this tonight and this afternoon, putting some things together, reading further in all of this, some things just struck me, and I'll keep them to myself tonight. But we'll get to those in time. But this was the importance of the gifts that were needed to be able to help that church. And we want to be the church of God. And we want to be helped by God. And being a church, we are a spiritual entity. We're not a social club. We're not a social gathering. We're not, you know, anything in that wise and such. This is a spiritual meeting, a spiritual place, spiritual thing. This is where we come to get our spirit right, our soul saved, and to make heaven our home. Amen. We don't come here to get a pep talk, to feel good about ourselves, to get an attaboy, a pat on the back, and such like that. We come to make sure that our souls are right with God. Amen. And the gifts of the Spirit help in this accord. It's to benefit us. It's to edify us. It's to help the church in general. Why? Because we have an adversary. We have an enemy that is doing his best to try to hinder the church, to thwart the church, to distract the church, to sidetrack the church, to deter the church, to get it away from these things. And I was sitting in my office today pondering these things, I had just come back in from the sanctuary praying and began to sit there and just begin to ponder on some things. And there was a thought that came to me, and I likened the thought for the church, but also there was an individual that came to my mind for this. And so I noted it and wrote it down. It's nobody in this church. And but the Lord will open up the door one of these days for me to be able to say it. But I just felt it was right for this church too as well. But the devil fights the hardest when he understands what there is to gain from that, when he understands what he's fighting for. And so a place, an entity, a church that does not feel the resistance of the enemy against it, there's a purpose for that. There's a reason for that. There's no reason for them to feel that resistance. The devil has already set their direction, and they're already headed in the wrong way. But any church that is going to fight diabolical spirits and trying to prevent worldliness from coming into the church, trying to prevent the world's type and definition, significance of relevance coming in. We've just got to be relevant to this world. All of those things coming in, it's because there is a prize. There is, and the enemy knows that. And he is going to fight harder. He's going to fight harder when he understands that he stands to lose a lot if he loses, but he also stands to gain a whole lot if he wins. And so he's going to put his best foot forward. And so when you fight hell to the nth degree and you feel like it's just not going to stop and you feel like it just keeps coming and you just feel like, you know, if it would just break for a little while, I might be able to catch my breath, then understand that the devil, your enemy, understands the price that is upon your soul. He understands what he is going to lose if he loses this battle, and he also understands what he's going to gain if he wins the battle. So take that and be encouraged. Be encouraged by that. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so we began to talk about the three categories, the gifts of revelation, which would be the word of wisdom or the divine ability to know these things, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge and discerning of spirits. That was the gifts of power, faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, or the divine ability to act. And there were the gifts of revelation, providing the divine ability to know, which is the word of wisdom, why did I repeat that? Amen. Ability to know. You've got tongues and interpretation. I don't have it on my paper, but nevertheless, you got tongues and interpretation and the gifts of prophecy. And so it is to know the unknown. Amen. And so we began to talk about the gifts of power. Last week we got into the gift of faith. These glasses are going to drive me absolutely crazy. We got into the gift of faith. Now we say that with carefulness. The Bible doesn't call it the gift of faith. It just calls it faith. And I feel like it's just because that's the plan, the desire of God. Faith ought to be, it doesn't have to be a gift. It ought to be just prevalent. It ought to just be here. And so we have what we looked at as a Hebrews 11 and 6 faith, which just says that without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh unto God, cometh unto him, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so you've got to have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You've got to keep the faith and such. And you've got to walk by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. The Bible said that the just shall live by faith. You've got to have faith. But that faith is different than the gifts of the Spirit. Just like you may be able to speak 9 different languages, but that does not mean that you have the gift of tongues. That doesn't even mean you got the Holy Ghost. It just simply means that you know how to speak 9 different languages. But the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. Not because that you know how to speak Spanish or Korean or anything else like that. It's as the Spirit gives the utterance. It's not gibberish. It's not just a bunch of garbled stuff that you say. It is a language. It is a language. We know that on the day of Pentecost that they heard them speak in their own tongue and magnify God. And it's not because that they knew Arabic or whatever and stuff. It's because that the Spirit of God was moving upon them and they were speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. And so there is tongues, a sign of the Holy Ghost, but there is also the gift of tongues. There is wisdom because that there are a lot of people in this world that are wise, but that's not the gift. That is not a word of wisdom. There is knowledge, and knowledge is soaring. Technology is going absolutely bonkers, and knowledge is increasing and abounding, but that doesn't mean that somebody has a word of knowledge. Word of wisdom, these are spiritual things that the Spirit, and we've talked about those things, and we won't get back into the example of those things, but nevertheless, we talked about the discerning of spirits and the necessity of that, the importance to be able to understand that. And when we don't necessarily, when we feel like something may not be right, we're going to pay attention to that, but we're also going to watch the leadership. And as we watch the leadership, they'll give us, by example, they'll give us what we need to do. And sometimes it's not spoken and such. And so you'll see me. I'm not teaching you anything new here tonight. You've heard this before, but you have watched your pastor in the past. You've watched Brother Wirtz. Maybe as he sat there in the chair and somebody was preaching something that he may not have exactly agreed with, and you watched him. Well, he wasn't up jumping up and down and clapping his hands and saying, "That's right," and stuff. But there was a body language that was about him that you knew. And somebody may have been preaching something, and you could understand that, you know what, I see my pastor, and he's not exactly hoorah in this, and you know what? He's my pastor, not this man that's standing at the desk. We'll honor him, we'll respect him, and we'll amen the word of God and stuff, but we're keeping our eyes on that man of God to let him direct us through his bodily motions. Amen. His bodily language. Praise God. And so we watch these things, and sometimes we don't know the fullness of it, but we watch these things. Praise God. And so we come to faith. And so now you've got to have faith, because without faith it is impossible to please God. But you also we have to be responsive to what we're going to call the gift of faith. The Bible doesn't call it the gift of faith, just calls it faith. But we're responsive to that. And so what is the difference? And I was thinking, I don't even know if I made gave this example last week or not. If I did, just bear with me and just act like I never said anything. I told you about I broke my hand. All right, so yeah, okay. So, you know, we made that analogy. I broke my hand, and I believe that God could heal me of that. And when I went back to the doctor, he said it wasn't healed, and he put another cast on it. And that went on for 3 months. But to this day, I still believe that God can heal broken bones. And I believed at that moment that God could heal my broken bone. Amen. So that's the faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. I had that faith. But should there have ever come an inspiration of the Lord coming upon me and saying, "Right now, believe it," and I would have accepted that, then that would have been the gift of faith in operation. And I gave a story on that. I've got another one. But back when I was working in Aransas Pass, and I had these nasty little warts or something that came up on the bottom of my feet and such. I have no idea why or how that it happened and stuff. But they were like hot lava rocks that I could not even step on. I was walking on the side of my foot. We were just getting good and cranking and hanging drywall, and I knew that I could not function. And Sister Sarah said, "You know what? You can have surgery, but it doesn't guarantee it." And so she gave me some cancer burn cream and stuff and burned the bottom of my foot off and such. But anyways, I knew and I believed that God could heal me. And so one night the power of the Lord was in the church and was there, and people were getting prayed for. And I just told Brother Riley, I said, I want you to pray for me. I can't function like this. I need you to pray for me right now. And so he began to pray for me. And as he began to pray for me, I felt that surge. I felt that surge. And when I felt that surge, I just simply said, I accept this. I believe it, and I accept this healing right now in Jesus' name. And so there's two things that began to happen at that moment. Number one was faith took place, and that's the Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It was right then, it was right at that moment that God began to do a healing process. And then we come into the gifts of healing. And such. And it calls it the gifts. It's plural now. The gifts of healing. And so it was at that moment that I believe this and I accept it. I accept this right now. And the Lord began to heal me. And that night they weren't gone, because that would have been working of miracles. It just disappeared. But within 2 weeks they were gone. And it should have taken over 3 months. But within 2 weeks, they were gone. And so it was the gifts of healing and the healing process that ignited that, and it began to heal it at an exponential speed. Praise God. So that's that. And so that is the feeling. And so as we begin to progress through services and you feel that unction of the Spirit, you need to be able to recognize that this is faith. This is God's call to action now. And some of it may not be understandable. We believe in doing everything decently and in order. And we believe that God's not the author of confusion. But at the same time, we give allowance to the presence of God and the Spirit of God to do what He desires to do. Because you never know what's going to follow after that. And God may move upon somebody, and somebody's praying, and the Holy Ghost is moving through the place. And then all of a sudden, just God moving and just move and say, you know what, right now is the time to respond. And, well, I don't have anything I need healed for. I don't have any prayers I need answered. I don't have any miracles that I need and stuff. But you know what, there's always the need for revival. There's always the need for lost souls. And it's not just my need. Amen. It may be God saying, look, I'm moving upon you because somebody else needs to get this. And so we don't know what kind of domino effect it's going to cause. And so the Lord picks us and He says, you know, right now, it's time to go. And so you may just get out of your pew and walk to the front and just start worshiping. But being led of the Spirit, it may be time to walk the aisles. It may be time to run the aisles. It may be time to whatever it is, as the Spirit lays upon you, do it. And then all of a sudden, boom, everything just kind of blows apart and the Holy Ghost moves in and takes over. We have time for that. That's what we're preaching about, in defense of. We're not scheduling God out of the church. We're not saying two songs and then we're going to have some preaching at the altar and the offering and stuff, and then, you know, 9 o'clock, we're out of here. We're not scheduling God out to where we say, Sunday mornings we're going to sing until about 10:20, have a special song with the offering, and then we're going to do some preaching and stuff, and then we're out of here. We're out by 11:30. No, we've got time for God to move in our midst. You see, because God understands what's sitting on the pews. Amen. He understands there's emotions, there's attitudes, there's addictions, there's problems that are there, mental problems and issues that are there, and God knows how to deal with them. And sometimes, I'll just be truth, God doesn't need me to work a miracle. God doesn't need me to get His Spirit moving. He just needs somebody to respond. And if somebody begins to respond, He is well able to take care of the issue. Praise the Lord. Praise God. And so we get into this, the gifts of healing. And there is much speculation as to why that there is the plural part of that, the gifts of healing. But it ought to be considered that healing can come through many different avenues, many different channels in all of this. And so as we go through the Bible, we see that there are many, many different ways that the gifts of healing were in operation in the church. And not just in the church, but with the church. We understand that the church is not just these four walls, but the church is us. Amen. And so the church is wherever we go. And so we see that as the church began to progress through the place, that there was things that began to happen. In the book of Mark, chapter number 16 and verse number 17, Bible says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Now, let me just stay right here. Just because you have not seen these things does not mean that these things are not real. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir here tonight, but I'm doing that for an example. I am preaching to people that you have seen these things happen. You have seen, amen, the signs that follow them that believe. You've seen people that have had devils cast out of them. You have seen people speak with new tongues. You know what? I'm not looking to see anybody take up a serpent, but if it happens, glory to God. I'll just accept all of that. Amen. They drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. But you know the problem with a lot of commentators, theologians, and churchgoers today, amen, is that they do not believe that. They will not believe that simply because they have not seen that. But just because you have not seen something does not mean that it is not true and that it cannot happen. These things are beyond their imagination. These things are things that they think to themselves, "I'd have never dreamed of that happening. I don't believe that. There's no way that that could ever happen," and stuff. But when you get in with the Lord, and the Bible teaches us that these signs shall follow them that believe. Praise God. Praise God. Somebody said, "Well, I tell you what, I'll believe if you'll speak in tongues right now." No. You got the whole operation in reverse order. "Well, I'll believe if you heal somebody right now. You lay hands on that individual and you heal them right now, then I'll believe that." No. The Bible said these signs shall follow them that believe. You got to believe first. Praise God. But as you begin to believe, amen, then there is no top on it all, because God can do anything. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's why the church can begin to rally when somebody is in need of healing, and the church rallies and gathers around them, and people are praying. It's because you got believers that are praying. Amen. If you don't believe that God could heal, you probably don't need to be up here, amen, praying for somebody. But, amen, that's not us. We understand, we believe that when somebody comes up here to be prayed for, we believe that it's going to happen. And so we come up and we pray with them. And just because it may not happen doesn't mean that it can't happen. We know that when God is ready, amen, that He is well able to do it. And so we're just going to keep on believing that God can and that God will do it. Our faith is not going to be diminished. Our faith is not going to be slighted, because whether we see or we haven't seen something, we're just going to continue to believe that God can and God will. And I'll just make a statement here tonight that the more that we believe, the more that we're going to see. Amen. And that's why that the enemy fights so hard. And amen, from keeping the church from seeing healings and seeing miracles. Because when a few of you begin to see some things happen, your faith is going to soar. And when your faith begins to soar, your testimony is going to go out. And you're going to begin to witness to people and say, "Hey, amen, we saw a lady at my church that was healed. And you can come and get healing as well." Amen. And the devil knows that's an unstable ground. Oh God, that the church would get a hold of this, and that the gifts of healing would be in operation in the church. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. These things begin to happen. And what happens when this gets known, people begin to flock to these things because they want to see the miraculous. They want to partake of the miraculous. Many, many years ago, they had the Brownsville revival, and all these people were getting healed. And we had people from Colorado driving down to Florida so that they could get healed. You know, all you got to do is drive 2 miles to the church and believe, and God will heal you right there at the church. Ain't no need to take off work to lose your job or anything else and spend all that money to drive to Brownsville, Florida to get healed. You can get healed right here. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. So there was the laying on of hands. And then we see that there is the anointing with oil. Is any sick among you? James 5:14. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Amen. So it was these things that began to happen. There was the anointed cloths, the handkerchiefs. Acts 19:11-12. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the disease departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. We also see that there was the shadow of an apostle, insomuch, Acts 5:15, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. And there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folk and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. The apostles in the time of persecution prayed for this gift. Acts 4:29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto your servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And it is evident that God granted their request, because in Acts 5:16, we see that they came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folk and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Acts 8:7, for unclean spirits crying with loud voices came out of many that were possessed with them, and many were taken with palsy and that were lame. They were healed. And so God healed these individuals in many different capacities, whether it was just the laying on of hands, the anointing of oil, the shadow of an apostle, and the apostles praying for the gift of healing. And it happened. It came about them. Amen. And so this just tells us we don't need to just sit idly by and just wait for a sick folk to come by and say, oh, now I pray that they could be healed. But how about we add that to our prayer request as we're praying on a daily basis, or when we're praying at Tuesday night prayer meeting, that we pray, oh God, that the gifts of healing would be in operation in the church. And God, just start with me. You know my infirmity, and I believe that you're going to touch me and heal me. I believe that I can be the first one. Amen. Praise God. And then pray, amen, that the gifts of healing would be in operation, and that it would go out, and that God would touch, and that God would heal, so that his name might be glorified. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. What a testimony to take to your neighbor, to your co-worker, to your friends, to your teachers at school, and all the things that you have seen. Acts 4, they began to speak, and they said, hey, look, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Amen. God, show us some things. God, show us some things. Let us see some things. Let your power be in action. Let your power be effective and fervent in the church. And let healing virtue come into this church. Let it start with us, that a testimony can be taken out from in here into the streets, so that your name might be glorified, God. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. There's nothing that like healing that'll get the attention of an individual. Amen. Let me go ahead and real quick, let me just talk about the working of miracles, and we'll sum all of this up. But the working of miracles. Miracles are not human interpretations of natural events, but rather it is an interruption of the natural order as we understand it. They often have to do with providing protection, giving provision, casting out demons, altering circumstances. Interruption of a natural order would be things like making the sun to stand still, to go back 10 degrees or 15 degrees. Also, that would cause a virgin to conceive and bear a child. That would be a miracle. But there are other miracles that we saw throughout the Bible. We've seen that Jesus raised the dead. He didn't heal them. He raised them. That was a miracle. Amen. They were dead. And so he raised the dead. And then there was the casting out of devils. That's not healing. That's a miracle. Amen. God is delivering them in a miraculous way. Praise God. But then we see that there are other examples that we see in this. We see that a miracle could be when Peter was delivered out of prison. And there he was sitting in prison and there was a prayer meeting that was going on. That's why we still believe in prayer meetings. Prayer meeting's biblical. And so they were at the house. So it was at Dorcas's house, and there they were, and they were praying and seeking God, and that God would somehow or another help Peter, because Peter was getting ready to be executed, and God needed to intervene for Peter. And so all of a sudden, an angel comes in, opens the doors of the prison, and unlocks all of the Peter's bonds and stuff, and Peter walks out unshackled and goes and he makes his way over to the prayer meeting. Amen. Because that's where you need to go. I make all kinds of these plugs, can I? Amen. So Peter was headed to prayer meeting. And there he was at prayer meeting, and he showed up and knocked upon the gate, and somebody came out, and they thought, whoa, don't be surprised when God answers your prayers. Be thankful. Be excited. Be jubilant when God answers your prayers. And so they found out that God answered his prayer, amen, their prayers, and that was definitely a miracle. There's sometimes a fine line between miracles and healings. We see an illustration of how that the gifts of healing and the working of miracles might be that healing would involve mending an eardrum, while a miracle would involve the creation of an eardrum where there was none. Amen. So we need to understand that God is involved in healing as well as he is involved in miracles. And God created this thing called the body. And the body possesses a natural ability to heal itself. And that's not the gifts of healing. But there are things in our lives that whether it's diseases and sicknesses and such, that sometimes we're praying for a miracle and God wants to bring healing. And so it's not instantaneous. It's not, you know, like for me, many times I prayed and I said, God, you know, I'm praying for a miracle. I'm praying, God, that you would heal my eye so that I could see. And at the time, I had horrible eyesight. I had corrective surgery to help fix that. I guess I didn't have enough faith or something. But anyways, there I am, and I'm praying that God would heal. And I'd be praying. I'd look. Nope. Praying. Look. Nope. I expect in a miracle, but sometimes God does want to bring healing. And healing doesn't happen like that instantaneously, but healing happens in a process. It happens, such as my foot, it happened. The healing was a process. But sometimes there are miracles that do take place. And it doesn't matter whether it's a miracle or a healing, it's a powerful testimony that is to be put forth. So when we were in Katy, Texas, there was a young lady there, a young girl, 9 years of age, and she was deathly allergic to eggs. And so we had pots back in the fellowship hall that could only be used for certain things, and they couldn't be used for anything else, because if it had any type of egg in it, and then we washed it and scraped it and all that other stuff, and then we cooked something else and gave it to her, she'd have an allergic reaction, and we'd have to bring out, you know, mom would have to bring out EpiPens and such, and she couldn't even have eggs touch her skin and such. She was deathly allergic to eggs, and so the school had EpiPens. Mom had EpiPens and all this, and so anyways, she had come to the front one night during revival, and she wanted God to heal her. She wanted a miracle, and so we did. We laid hands on her. We prayed for her. We anointed her with oil, and she believed that God healed her. And so she went home and she told her mom. She said, "I believe that God healed me." Well, the little boy, I don't remember how old he was, five, six, something like that. And he had an intolerance to gluten, and so he had come to the front. So he told his mom. He said, "I believe God healed me." And she said, "Oh, you know, whatever." And so he said, "No, I believe God healed me." And so she gave him something, because he wasn't going to die because he just had an intolerance for it. So she gave him something. No reaction. She's like, "Well," so she gave him a little bit more. So no reaction. And so she gave him a whole lot. No reaction. Well, several days went through, and he's been eating all this. No reaction. She's like, "Whoa, God did heal him. God performed a miracle there." And so the dad came in, and the dad's not in church. And the dad's like, whoa, 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 wait a second. You can't be doing that. And he talked to the mom. He's like, what are you doing? You can't. She's like, listen to him. He's like, no, Dad, God healed me. He said, no, we don't believe that stuff. It's like, well, I mean, he's been eating this for 2 to 3 days and nothing has happened. I mean, how do you argue with the facts? And so Dad had to step back a little bit. And it's like, and while we're talking about this, you know, Anna says that God's healed her of an allergy, her egg allergy. No, that's a different story. We're talking about death over an intolerance. Mom's like, you know what? I ain't allowing her to do anything. We ain't changing anything. And so Anna was emphatic about this. No, I'm just telling you, God healed me. And so it's like, okay, so what do we do? So Mom, you know, we talked about this and stuff. So take her to the doctor. Have her tested and stuff. So they took her to the doctor, and they took some blood work and waited for the blood work to come back. And when the blood work came back, they called them in and they said, now, according to the blood work, there is no allergic, you know, egg allergy that has been detected here. Everything is fine. Like, okay, so do we go eat a hard-boiled egg? We're going to try this out. So they scheduled a time for her to go to the doctor's office. And so we prayed for her again. And she went to the doctor's office. And so they started off very slowly. And they brought egg product into the room. No reaction. And so they got it closer, let her sniff and smell it, took the egg product and put it on her skin, touching her skin. No reaction. Rubbed it on her skin. No reaction. So now it's the big test. It's time for you to eat something. And so they gave her something with slight egg in it, and just a little piece, and she ate it. No reaction. So they gave her something else. No reaction. Well, let's go big. Let's eat an egg. No reaction. Miracle had taken place. A girl that had not eaten a Krispy Kreme donut her entire 9 years of life, didn't even know what a donut was like, walked out of that doctor's clinic, and Mom took her to go get some donuts. And after a few months, donuts kind of started showing up on her too, like it shows up on everybody else. But that's a miracle. That's a miracle. And this is how I'm going to sum it up. I'm just about done here tonight. But this is how I'm going to sum it up. And so we see that these gifts work hand in hand together. Sometimes a word of knowledge comes forth and it enlightens us, but we don't know what to do. Sometimes a word of knowledge comes forth enlightening us and we do know what to do. But sometimes we need a word of wisdom to go with that. Sometimes we have all the knowledge, but we don't know what to do, and we need a word of wisdom to come and to help us. A lot of these work hand in hand together, but when we get into the gifts of power, we understand that these things are not for our glory and such. And I could talk about other miracles. I could talk about how that Ananias and Sapphira walked in and fell dead. That was a miracle. It may not have been a good miracle, but that was a miracle. That was judgment that happened. It was a miracle that it happened. Just to have a person just all of a sudden, boom, just fall dead right there, just like that, that God killed him. It wasn't a heart attack. It wasn't diabetes. It wasn't anything. It was just God issued judgment upon him and killed him right then and there. All right? And there are other things that happen in the Bible. You say, well, the gifts of the Spirit was for the edification of the church and stuff. But when you read these stories, you will see that great fear came upon the church. And when great fear came upon the church, then the church blossomed. Amen. And revival came into the church. And so it all is for the edification of the body and such. But these things work hand in hand. And so we need this. We need the understanding and the revelation of this. That as God begins to move, and God prompts you right now, it is time. Now the faith moves into the place and moves upon you. And you are in need of a miracle, or you are in need of healing. I'm just telling you tonight that it's going to be hard for healing and for miracles to take place without faith somehow being tied into it. Amen. And somewhere,
I'm just saying, somewhere during the process of the healing, somewhere during the process of the laying on of hands, or during the process of it all happening, the gift of faith is going to move into that place, and somebody's going to feel the unction of the Spirit as it touches, like a 9-year-old girl. Amen. She may not have shouted, but there was something in her spirit that was solidified as she stood up and said, "There's no doubt in my mind. I have accepted the healing of God. I have accepted the miracle." Hey friend, that's where we are in this church. There is a God that wants to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. His power is not diminished. His arm is not slack. There still is nothing that he cannot do. He just needs somebody to reach up and to get his hand. When he reaches down for your hand, and as God begins to move upon you, and you feel that now faith, you feel that inspiration right now, it's time to respond, and you step out of your pew and you come forward for prayer, and they pray for you. Amen. And maybe it's not faith at the moment, but you're just walking by faith, and as you come to the front and as you prayed for, all of a sudden that inspiration comes, and you get it, and you stomp your feet and say, "There it is." Claim it and let God take care of the rest. We need the gifts of the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. I'm asking somebody to respond right now. Amen. As the Holy Ghost, amen, is evident in this place. Amen. As God is working in this house, as God is touching souls. Amen. Now, faith. It's now time. Amen. It's not later. It's not Sunday night. But right here on a Bible study Wednesday night, the Spirit of God is moving in this place. And he said it like this: if two or three of you agree on any one thing, and if you ask in my name, it shall be done. I just believe that God can do it. Do I have anybody else that'll believe it? Anybody else that'll agree with me and say, "Tonight is the night. It's over. It's finished." Let the inspiration of faith, the gift of faith, gift of miracle, gift of healing be an operation here tonight.